An appeal for the Southern field. Dear brethren and sisters in America, I would appeal to you in behalf of the Southern field. If we consulted our own ease and pleasure, we would not desire to enter this field. But we are not to consult our own ease. The Southern field is beset with difficulties, and should I present the field to you as it has been presented to me, many of you would draw back and say, "No, I cannot enter such a field." But the condition of the colored race is no more disheartening than was the condition of the world when Christ left heaven to work for fallen man. Since the slaves gained their freedom at terrible loss of life, both to the North and to the South, they have been greatly neglected by those who profess to know God, and as a result, thousands of them have failed to gain spiritual freedom. But shall this indifference continue? Shall not decided efforts be made to save them? Sin has degraded and corrupted the human family, but Christ did not leave men to perish in their degradation. Why should not Seventh-day Adventists become true laborers together with God in seeking to save the souls of the colored race? Instead of a few, why should not many go forth to labor in this long-neglected field? Where are the families who will become missionaries and who will engage in labor in this field? Where are the men who have means and experience so that they can go forth to these people and work for them just where they are? There are men who can educate them in agricultural lines, who can teach the colored people to sow seed and plant orchards. There are others who can teach them to read and can give them an object lesson from their own life and example. Show them what you yourself can do to gain a livelihood, and it will be an education to them. Are we not called upon to do this very work? Are there not many who need to learn to love God supremely and their fellow men as themselves? In the Southern field are many thousands of people who have souls to save or to lose. Are there not many among those who claim to believe the truth who will go forth into this field to do the work for which Christ gave up his ease, his riches, and his life? Christ gave up all in order that he might bring salvation to every people, nation, and tongue. He bridged the gulf that sin had made in order that through his merits man might be reconciled to God. Why is there not an army of workers enlisted under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, ready to go forth to enlighten those who are ignorant and depraved? Why do we not go forth to bring souls out of darkness into light? Why do we not teach the perishing to believe in Christ as their personal Savior and aid them to see Christ by faith and wash in the fountain that has been opened to cleanse away the sins of the world? The Review and Herald, November 26, 1895. Are there not men, women, and youth who will go forth to establish schools and thus become teachers to instruct the colored people so that they may be enabled to read the Word of God? We must teach them to read God's Word, or they will become the ready dupes of false shepherds that misinterpret the Scriptures and that manufacture doctrines and teach traditions which will lead them into the paths of perdition. There are preachers and teachers among the colored people who are addicted to licentious habits. And how can they understand the binding claims of the law of God when the standard of righteousness is not revealed and exalted before their eyes by the precept and example of their teachers? We must go among them and show them how to honor and obey God's law in order that they may be prepared to have a part in the new earth. Many of the colored people are among the lowly who will receive the Word of God. And shall not this long-neglected work of enlightening the colored people be entered into perseveringly and be carried forward all the more diligently because it has been so long neglected? We must do a work for the colored race that has not yet been done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God cares for the colored people, and if we would cooperate with him for the salvation of their souls, we must care for them too, and become laborers together with him. We need to repent before God, because we have neglected missionary work in the most abandoned part of God's moral vineyard. We should rouse up to the interest that true Christians ought to feel for those who are depressed and morally degraded. Christ said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." We cannot leave souls for whom Christ died to be the prey of Satan's temptations. We cannot abandon this great flock to their ignorance, want, suffering, and corruption. This would not be doing the will of God. We cannot heap advantages upon ourselves and upon those who are not in need, and pass by those who are in utter want, and be approved of God. This neglect is charged against those who have had great light, who have had marvelous opportunities, and who yet leave so large a portion of God's moral vineyard unworked. For years, Satan has been sowing his tares among the colored people, and the field cannot be worked as easily now as it could have been worked years ago. But there should be no delay now. Reproach is brought upon Jesus Christ when those who profess to be carrying the last message of mercy to the world pass this field by. Christ did not pass by the needy and suffering. He united works of mercy with the message of salvation he came to bear to men. He engaged in a constant, untiring ministry and worked for the perishing and sorrowful. He prefaced his message of love by deeds of ministry and beneficence, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. The Review and Herald, December 3, 1895. We need men who will become leaders in home and foreign missionary enterprises. We need men whose sympathies are not congealed, but whose hearts go out to the perishing that are nigh and afar off. The ice that binds about souls that are frozen up with selfishness needs to be melted away, so that every brother shall realize that he is his brother's keeper. Then everyone will go forth to help his neighbor to see the truth and to serve God in an acceptable service. Then those who profess the name of Christ will aid others in the formation of a Christ-like character. If everyone would work in Christ's lines, much would be done to change the condition that now exists among the poor and distressed. Pure religion and undefiled would gleam forth as a bright and shining light. True religion will induce its advocates to go forth into the highways and byways of life. It will lead them to help the suffering and enable them to be faithful shepherds, going forth into the wilderness to seek and to save the lost, to lead back the perishing sheep and lambs. The Review and Herald, December 10, 1895. The neglect of the colored race by the American nation is charged against them. Those who claim to be Christians have a work to do in teaching them to read and to follow various trades and engage in different business enterprises. Many among this race have noble traits of character and keen perception of mind. After their deliverance from captivity, we should have sent missionaries into this field to teach the ignorant. We should have issued books in so simple a style that a child might have understood them, for many of them are only children in understanding. Pictures and object lessons should have been used to present to the mind valuable ideas. Children and youth should have been educated in such a way that they could have been instructors and missionaries to their parents. The Review and Herald, December 17, 1895. Let missionaries who are truly converted and who feel the burden of the work seek wisdom from God, and with all the tact they can command, let them go into this field. Medical missionaries can find a field in which to relieve the distress of those who are failing under bodily ailments. They should have means so that they may clothe the naked and feed the hungry. Christian help work will do more than the preaching of sermons. There is a great need that a class of workers should go to this field who will do this kind of work. Let them meet together and relate their experiences, pray together, and hold their services in quietness, in meekness, and lowliness. Let the workers be Christ-like, that they may, by precept and example, exert an elevating influence. Let them furnish themselves with the most appropriate, simple lessons from the life of Christ to present to the people. Let them present the sufferings and the sacrifice of Christ. Let them hold up His righteousness and reveal His grace. Let them manifest His purity and holiness of character. Workers in the southern field will need to teach the people line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little.
Deeds of sympathy will be needed, as well as words that will touch the heart and leave an ineffaceable impression upon the mind. Small schools should be established in many localities, and teachers who are tender and sympathetic, who can, like the Master, be touched by suffering, should be engaged to educate old and young. Let the Word of God be taught in the simplest manner. Let the pupils be led to study the lessons of Christ, for the study of the Bible will do more to enlarge the mind and strengthen the intellect than will any other study. Nothing will so awaken the dormant energies and give vigor to the faculties as coming in contact with the Word of God. There is much talent among the colored people. Their minds must be aroused, their intellects quickened into activity, that they may grasp the precious truths of the plan of salvation. The Review and Herald, December 24, 1895. Those who love Christ will do the works of Christ. They will go forth to seek and to save that which was lost. They will not shun those who are despised and turn aside from the colored race. They will teach them how to read and how to perform manual labor, educating them to till the soil and to follow trades of various kinds. They will put forth painstaking efforts to develop the capabilities of the people. The Review and Herald, January 14, 1896. As a people claiming to be proclaiming the last message of mercy to the world, we cannot consistently neglect the southern field, for it is a portion of God's moral vineyard. We are not to wait for great men to undertake the work. We are to encourage those who have a burden to go to this field. Let those in responsible positions give their sympathy to such workers and furnish them with facilities whereby they may do the work required. Let not men in our institutions feel that it is their prerogative to tie the hands of workers at every step. Let those who have a mind to work do with their might whatsoever their hands find to do. Let those who take no part in the trying experience of teaching the colored people unite their petitions with those of the workers and plead that the Holy Spirit may move upon the hearts of the workers and aid them in doing successful work for the Master. The Lord God of Sabbath will hear earnest prayer. He will lead those who feel their dependence upon Him, and will so guide the workers that many souls shall come to a knowledge of the truth. The Review and Herald, January 21, 1896. Those who work in the southern field will need to have a sanctified judgment in order to discriminate in applying help where it will do the greatest amount of good. They should help those who will be a help to others, as well as those who may not be able to carry on very decided missionary operations. I know that it will be impossible for workers to remain in this field in a bare-handed condition and do the work that is required to be done in the southern states. it will be necessary that a fund shall be created so that the workers may have means with which to help those who are in poverty and distress. And this practical ministry will open their hearts to respond to the truth. We are to lift up our eyes and look upon the fields that are white already for the harvest. For years we have passed by the southern field and have looked upon the colored race feebly deploring their condition. But our eyes have been fastened upon more promising fields. But now God's people should lift up their eyes and look upon this destitute field that has not been worked. The missionary spirit must prevail if we form characters after the pattern, Christ Jesus. Here is a field in America that is nigh at hand. One is to sow the seed, another to reap the harvest, another to bind it up. There is a variety of work which must be done now while the angels continue to hold the four winds. Many who desire to do missionary work may labor in this field. There is no time to be lost. As men, women, and children among the colored people receive the truth, they should be instructed by those who are imbued with the Spirit of God, and educated and directed in such a way that they may help others. The southern field is right in the shadow of your own doors. It is as land that has had a touch of the plow here and there, and then has been left by the plowman, who has been attracted to some easier or more promising field. But these who work the southern field must make up their minds to practice self-denial. Those who would aid in this work must also practice self-denial, in order that facilities may be provided whereby the field may be worked. God calls for missionaries and asks us to take up our neglected duties. Let farmers, financiers, builders, and those who are skilled in various arts and crafts go to this field to improve lands and to build humble cottages for themselves and their neighbors. The Review and Herald, January 28, 1896.
It is essential that families should settle in the South. And as missionary workers, they can, by precept and example, be a living power. The most successful methods are to encourage families who have a missionary spirit to settle in the southern states and work with the people. Manuscript, November 20, 1895. Published in booklet, The Southern Work, 72-75, under heading, Proper Methods of Work in the Southern Field. The southern field is a hard field, a very unsightly field, because it has been so long uncultivated. All who take hold of the work in the cause of God and suffering humanity will have to be one in their designs and plans. They will have plenty of trials and discouragements to meet, but they must not allow these to hinder or dishearten or handicap them in their work. In love for Christ, who died to save this poor, downtrodden people, in love for the souls of the perishing thousands, they are to labor for this worse than heathen country. Brethren, you have a work to do which you have left undone. A long neglected field stands out in plain view before God to shame the people who have light and advance truth, but who have done so little to remove the stones and the rubbish that have been accumulating for so long a time. Those who have enjoyed every privilege and blessing have passed by on the other side. As a Christian people, God has called you to prepare the way of the Lord in this unpromising field. In His providence, God is saying, as He has been saying for years past, "Here is a field for you to work." Those who are wise in agricultural lines, in tilling the soil, those who can construct simple, plain buildings may help. They can do good work and at the same time show in their characters the high morality which it is the privilege of this people to attain to. Teach them the truth in simple object lessons. Make everything upon which they lay their hands a lesson in character building. The South is calling to God for temporal and spiritual food, but it has been so long neglected that hearts have become hard as stone. God's people need now to arouse and redeem their sinful neglect and indifference of the past. These obligations now rest heavily upon the churches, and God will graciously pour out His Spirit upon those who will take up their God-given work. Manuscript, March 2, 1897. Published in booklet, The Southern Work, 79-82, under heading, The Southern Field. Development and Organization. Let the work in the Southern Field go forward. Let no one say, money is not needed in this field. Let God's people begin at once to redeem their neglect. Let the gospel message ring through our churches, summoning them to universal action. A good work has been done, and it has been done in the face of the most trying circumstances. The Lord calls upon us to come up to His help in this needy field. The General Conference Bulletin, April 14, 1903. Toward the close of 1903, Sister White wrote, "Some may say that the work in the Southern States is already receiving from the General Conference more than its share of attention, more than its proportion of men and means. But if the South were not a neglected, needy field, if there were not a pressing necessity for more work to be done there in many different lines, why should the Lord keep the question constantly before His people as He has done for so many years? We must redeem the time. Without delay, this long-neglected field must be worked. The Lord has been working with and for the tried laborers in the South. Many are preparing to put their shoulders to the wheel to help advance the work. The cloud of darkness and despondency is rolling back, and the sunshine of God's favor is shining upon the workers. The Lord is gracious. He will not leave our work in the South in its present condition. The ones living in this great field will yet have the privilege of hearing the last message of mercy, warning them to prepare for the great day of God which is right upon us. Now, just now, is our time to proclaim the third angel's message to the millions living in the Southern States, who know not that the Savior's coming is near at hand." The Southern Missionary, January 1, 1904.